south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, time to plug away at some of these emails. They're really stacking up. In fact, I just eliminated 10,000 emails that I've accumulated over the past 2 or 3 months. And you know, eventually I do read them all. And I do answer some of them personally and some of them right on the air. So don't quit sending them because they don't just end up in the ether. Someone actually reads them. Yours truly. Like, for example, here's one that's certainly of general interest to everyone. He says, Johnny, I have listened to the podcast for a few years now. I alternate listening to both new and old episodes and hopefully we'll meet in the middle soon. My question and comment is, I hear a lot about cosmetic surgeries in regards to both the quality and affordability aspects when compared to the U.S. I was wondering how I could go about finding actual current pricing for certain procedures and any recommendations for the best country and or clinic to contact. And Johnny, thanks for your time and effort in relaying quality, informative information that actually betters people's lives. Thanks for everything, Sean. All right, Sean, thanks for that. But wait just a second. Are you accusing me of being a do-gooder? Are you perhaps saying I'm doing all this because I get helper's high? You remember what that is, right? It's that so-called do-gooder's high that I make fun of all the time. But don't get me wrong. I'm not making fun of the help that they give to people. I'm making fun of them. Because so often you see that when they come down to a third world country, go out into the boonies and build solar outhouses for Jesus, many times in the end, after the do-gooders are long gone, a lot of those outhouses never get used or end up as chicken coops. Like, for example, I know personally of a guy who put together a team of people to hand out thousands of free 5-gallon bucket water purifiers with a little ceramic element in them. Well, a year later, when they came back to revisit some of the families they handed those things out to, they found a good percentage of them were filled with dirt and being used as flower pots. And isn't it funny? After that failure, when the do-gooders got together to try to figure out a solution, for their next round of good deeds, they decided to charge just a little bit of money for each little purifier. And guess what? When the do-gooders came back around a year later to check on everyone, well, nearly all the units were still in use as water purifiers. Surprise, surprise. So what's that tell you? Well, a lot of things. Are you listening, Bernie Sanders? And Miss Occasional Cortex? Because one of the really stark and obvious things it shows us is that people don't put much value in things they get for free. But when they've got a little skin in the game, it's a completely different story, huh? It's the simplest little example of why socialism does not work in practice, only in principle and theoretically speaking. So then why do so many supposedly intelligent people fall for it? Easy. Because it's all centered around that magic word, free. Which always reminds me of those two favorite phrases, nothing is for nothing, and you get what you pay for. But then again, when you think about it, how much did you pay for this show? Nothing, right? But I digress. Anyway, as to Sean's questions about cosmetic surgeries, etc., he asked about the quality and affordability aspects compared to the United States. Well, Sean, it's like this. There's a general rule of thumb you can follow for pretty much any kind of medical procedure you have done here in Latin America, be it cosmetic surgery, dentistry, whatever. Turns out if you're well off the gringo tourist trail, and there are lots and lots of small, medium, and large cities well off the gringo tourist trail that have absolutely first-world private hospitals and clinics. Note, I said private. And many, many of the doctors and specialists are trained in the first world. You can see that by looking at their diplomas on the walls. In fact, most of them just love to brag about that. It's a huge feather in their cap if they did specialty work outside of their own Latin countries. Because, as it turns out, only the top docs in their class have that privilege because they're the only ones that are accepted to foreign medical school graduate programs. Anyway, Sean, the rule of thumb is, when you're off the gringo tourist trail, that is, medical and dental procedures are anywhere from 15 to 30% the cost of what they are up in the States, about 1/4 to 1/6 the cost. Here's an example. I've got dentists in my family up in the States, and the other day I was talking to my sister, who's a cosmetic dentistry specialist. She has one of those very expensive CEREC machines. That's C-E-R-E-C, CEREC, computerized porcelain ceramic milling machine in her office. And she can turn out a beautiful 100% ceramic crown in about an hour right in the office. That way, if you need a crown, you don't need a temporary. You don't have to come back. It's completely done at one appointment. Now, she tells me the newest machine's $125,000. And believe me, the look of pure ceramic teeth is absolutely natural because there's no metal behind them like there is with a traditional crown. And she says they last from 10 to 30 years, depending on how you take care of them. And when they're done right, no one, I mean no one but the dentist and you, knows that they're an actual crown. They look so good. Why? Because they're naturally translucent, just like real tooth enamel. Because they're 100% pieces of ceramic, no metal at all. So anyway, up in the Chicagoland area, she charges something like $2,000 per tooth. That is, per crown. Meanwhile, back in Central America, about 3 weeks ago, I was helping a fellow green gringo expat out, a guy who spoke almost no Spanish and had some pretty snaggly-looking teeth. He's looking at somewhere around 6 crowns or a combination of crowns and veneers, you know what they are, ceramic facings for teeth that are in pretty good shape that give you a much better look. Basically, when you get veneers done, it's pure 100% cosmetic dentistry. And in the States, they cost about half as much as crowns, around $1,000. Anyway, that CEREC computerized milling machine also produces ceramic veneers that, if done right, are absolutely indistinguishable from real, perfect teeth. In other words, only you and your dentist know for sure. So as luck would have it, for him anyway, I took this snaggle-toothed gringo to a dentist here in Latin America who has one of those machines. Now, you have to know that most dentists in Latin America could never afford a machine like that. But when you're in a medium or large-sized Latin city, there are going to be some dentists who have them, and they'll advertise as such. All you have to do is go on OLX.com. You'll find that any dentist who's got access to a machine like that will advertise it right up front in your face. And some dentists have pooled their money, and they have kind of a co-op and share such a machine. Unlike my sister, who shelled out the $125,000, down here, there may be 5, even 10 Latino dentists who've pooled their dough and set up a lab so they all have access. That way, they all can get first-world cutting-edge results. The difference is my sister charges $2,000 for one of these pure 100% ceramic teeth, and the dentist whose office I walked into with my snaggle-tooth friend charges $300 a tooth. And so you wonder, how is that possible? The very same machine, the very same technology, $2,000 in the States, $300 here in Latin America. How can that be? Especially since here in Latin America, right out in the parking lot, I noticed the dentist's car. He had a brand new BMW station wagon. Oh, and I also noticed there wasn't a single middle or lower middle class Latin patient in the office either. They all seemed to be upper middle class Latinos with nice cars. And why might that be? Well, that's because you can go to a regular dentist down here and get a regular crown, the old style, with the metal backing, which will protect your tooth, but doesn't have that beautiful appearance. Looks more like a piece of chalk, if you know what I mean. And the standard cost for one of those? Around $150 to $200 versus $300 for the top quality pure porcelain crown made with one of those cutting-edge computerized milling machines. But still, $2,000 versus $300? How can that be? Well, here's the breakdown. Now get this, and it's something most people will never know. Besides that expensive machine, what do you think it costs the dentist to make one of those crowns? This'll shock you, but my sister tells me it costs $75 to make each tooth because that's the cost of the little ceramic block they start with. You have to buy it from the manufacturer. So if you got that machine, you keep the little blocks on hand and they're $75 a piece. That's it. So how does the machine make that thing? Well, it gets a computer scan that the dentist makes of your prepared tooth and the other teeth in your mouth to make a match. So the cost of the dentist is obviously the cost of the machine and the $75 tiny ceramic block that's precision milled. So the margin or markup for the Latin dentist is $225. $300 for the crown minus $75 for the little ceramic block. And for the U.S. dentist, the margin is $1,925. Seems like here we're not even talking about apples and apples, but we are. And the reason why a Latino dentist can charge so little, something like a sixth of the cost of having it done in the States, is because his rent is $600 a month and my sister's rent is $10,000. Yeah, that's right, and it flipped me out when she told me that. $10,000 a month. And because the Latino dentist does not have malpractice insurance because it's just not needed, that's another game changer because my sister pays $40,000 a year for hers. And my sister pays $40,000 a year for hers. Oh, and Latino dentists don't have any school loans because they don't exist. And my sister walked out of dental school with around $100,000 in debt. Another important cost factor is that Latino dentists do not have hygienists. They don't exist down here. Instead, they either clean teeth themselves or hire another dentist right out of dental school for $500 to $600 a month. Yep, you heard me right, $500 or $600 a month. In fact, that's how almost all new dentists here in Latin America get started, working as a hygienist, so to speak, for an established dentist. Then there's the U.S., where almost all dentists have hygienists, and my sister pays hers $70,000 a year. So when you add all that up and do the numbers, a Latino dentist with that high-tech machine takes home about as much dough when he does a $300 ceramic crown as an American dentist charging $2,000. So in the end, my snaggletooth buddy, who was quoted $12,000 by a U.S. dentist to have his teeth all fixed, had it all done here in Latin America in a week's time for slightly under $2,000. About a fifth to a sixth as much as a U.S. dentist would charge him. So then, a very good question to ask is, how do you find a first-rate medical doctor or dentist? One that keeps up with the technology, takes continuing education courses, is cutting edge, and has all the right equipment? Well, there are lots of ways to investigate that and find out for yourself, even if you don't speak Spanish. Normally, it will take a lot of time and boots on the ground. However, there is a way, a fast-track way, of figuring it all out. How to find the right doctors, hospitals, clinics, etc., and of course, at non-gringo prices. Because, you know, when you're on the gringo tourist trail, you can get really high-quality medical and dental care, too, but it's very unlikely you'll get it for a fifth or a sixth off the U.S. prices. Oh, it'll be a lot less expensive for sure, maybe half to a third of stateside prices, but the fact is you don't have to settle for a third to a half off, though for some people that might be just fine. But I can tell you this, you'll truly kick yourself if one day you're off the gringo tourist trail and you see you could have got that dental work, tummy tuck, or facelift for thousands less than what you paid in Costa Rica or one of those little clinics in Mexico slightly south of the Texas border. Though again, getting a big expensive procedure done for half off might sound like a great deal to you. But to me, it doesn't make sense and it shows you really haven't done your homework. And the best way to do your homework? Well, you longtime listeners probably already know I've written a 100-page Latin American healthcare report, which outlines everything you need to know if you're thinking about medical tourism here in Latin America and you want to save a ton of money. And I can tell you this, no one else has ever written a report quite like this. And if you want a copy, just go to www.theexpatfiles.com and click on Johnny's healthcare report. All right, enough said about that. Here's another email. In the title box, it says, My Employment Search. And this is from Taylor. She says, Hello, I'm a teacher who has a job offer at an international school in Mexico for the coming academic year, August 2020. I was wondering if you had any advice for my husband's employment search in our potential new country of residence. Given the fact that we won't be in our new location for another 8 months, it's challenging to find opportunities in his field of work, where an employer would agree to such a delayed start date of 8 months in the future. My work visa will only cover my relocation and such. He needs to secure his own visa independently before we can commit to the expat life. So, Johnny, any insight, recommendations, or thoughts would be greatly appreciated. Signed, Taylor. All right, Taylor. There's a lot of places we could go with this. It's just too bad we're going to Mexico. More on that later. All right, first of all, let me ask you this question. Does your husband speak Spanish? And if so, on a 1 to 10, what is it? Because you see, employment in a foreign Latin country, especially in a professional job, depends a hell of a lot on how well you can speak Spanish and write Spanish. Because actually, as it turns out, no matter how fantastic your qualifications are, big companies here in Latin America that hire professionals are looking for bilingual people. I mean, fully bilingual people, not bilingual like me. I mean, I can speak Spanish, but I write like a fourth grader. But then again, I'm not looking for a job, am I? Now, as far as your upcoming job as an international school teacher in Mexico, normally it makes no difference at all whether you can speak even 10 words of Spanish, because international schools are those high-priced, what I call helicopter schools, catering to the entitled children of the wealthy, and of course, the entitled children of thieving political scumbags. Now, you see, their parents pay a high buck to have their kids taught by actual first-world teachers like you. And of course, most of the time, practically 100% of the time, you'll be teaching your classes in English. That's what they want. It's one of the best examples of the gringo advantage I can think of. that all the wealthy and stuck-up Latin rich people want their kids to be taught by real gringos. So when you get a job as a teacher here in Latin America, you don't necessarily need to know any Spanish at all. But for your husband, man, if he's not an 8 or 9 right now in Spanish, he better start cracking. So the fact is, anyone that's a professional up in the States, other than a teacher who's looking for a job here in Latin America in their chosen field, will have two big obstacles during that job search. Number one, you have to know your Spanish well. In fact, employers will often make you take an international Spanish language aptitude test. And the diploma you get when you pass the Spanish as a foreign language, called DELE, and the International Spanish Language Evaluation Service, SIELE, are two of the test services that big Latin company employers will use. Now, as far as being a professional gringo up in the States job hunting for a job in your chosen career in Latin America, here are two of the best ways to go about that hunt. Number one, check out olx.com.mx in the case of Mexico. Remember, olx.com is the universal Craigslist throughout Latin America. To pinpoint the country where you're going to focus your search, just go to your search engine. I hate Google, you know, so I use DuckDuckGo or startpage.com. You put in olx.com dot whatever the country's initials are. For example, if it's Guatemala, it's olx.com.gt. If it's Mexico, it's olx.com.mx. You get the idea. And once there, you'll see it's just like Craigslist. They sell everything and anything, and there are job offers that number more than you can imagine. However, again, olx.com is in Spanish. But you'll find in time, if you hang out on that site and check things out, your Spanish will improve day by day. And olx.com is not the only place where there are posted thousands of jobs. You should also have a look at a site called www.locanto.com.mx. That's Locanto, locanto.com.mx. The MX part being Mexico, of course. It's a site that specializes in job announcements, job searches, and classified ads. Right now, they say there's more than 10,000 jobs posted there, ranging from maids, gardeners, and ditch diggers, all the way up to medical doctors, surgeons, and CEOs. But again, everything's in Spanish there. However, one of the best ways to find a job, especially if you've pinpointed a town or a city that you for sure want to live in, just go online and check out one or two of the largest newspapers in that country. And generally, I don't know why this is the case, Monday has the biggest job classification section. So, for example, right now I'm looking at Guatemala's Prensa Libre. That's the biggest newspaper in Guatemala. And on Monday, I'm noticing here they have at least 150 management or middle management job offers in the corporate sector. So there is a big demand for corporate professionals. And with some of them, believe it or not, the wording's in English, which of course means they're looking for a 100% bilingual person to fill that slot. These are self-selecting ads, otherwise they wouldn't be in English. And the thing is, you know, if you interview with a company and they select you, they'll make sure you get your work visa. You won't have to worry about it yourself. In fact, if you're a newcomer to the country, that's the only way you're going to get a work visa. Even though you see lots of gringos and expats in a country like Mexico working various jobs, usually on the tourist trail, bartending, working restaurant jobs, and front desk jobs at hotels. But, you see, those are very low-end jobs off the books for cash and tips. The fact is, almost all those gringos and gringas are backpackers on an extended vacation. Almost all of them fell in love with the country and didn't have enough money to stay on unless they picked up a job somewhere, and thus they pick up a bartending job. It's crap money, of course, but enough to continue with the backpacker, low-budget style of living, which is fine if you're young and out for adventure and don't mind living in hostels, that is, watching someone else's hairballs bounce around in the drain while you brush your teeth or take a shower. But, you know, that kind of lifestyle was never for me. I've got different standards, like having a private room with a bath. Anyway, Taylor says in her email she won't be starting her job in Mexico for around 8 months, and she says that would be challenging for any employer to hire someone, her husband, for instance, with a timeline that far out. Well, that's true, but I think your husband better start looking now. It certainly won't hurt. Oh, and one last thing. If you're a professional up in the States, coming down to Latin America, working for a company, and not being your own boss, don't ever expect to make first world money. For example, I'm looking in the job classifieds right now in the Prensa Libre, that's the big Guatemalan newspaper, and they've got a CPA job opening. The ad's in English, so they want a bilingual guy. And the starting salary? 35 G's a year. Now, you should know that's really big money here in Latin America. In the States, it's the edge of poverty, but down here, man, 35 G's a year is pretty much unobtainable by 90% of the population. And I know you longtime listeners have heard me talk about the salaries for medical doctors and dentists here in Latin America. The fact is you could hire a fresh green doctor right out of medical school to be your personal doctor, no one else's. That means he works exclusively for you for something like $10,000 a year. I know, it sounds ridiculous, right? But it's true. In fact, I know a young lady who's in middle management at a big Costco. She has loads of responsibility and makes around $21,000 a year. And get this, she's got an MBA. She loves her job and loves the salary too, which again is below the poverty line if she were up in the States. So think about it. She, with her MBA, is making around $1,600 a month. And the average Costco grunt worker on the floor, she told me they make slightly over $400 a month, which is why she's happy to make $1,600 a month, four times the salary of the average stock boy or cashier. So the point is, Taylor, whatever your husband's making up in the States right now, he'd be extremely lucky to make half that much doing exactly the same job for a corporation here in Latin America. I mean, after all, why do corporations relocate to Latin America? Because they can pay those crap salaries. But then again, you got to remember the cost of living is so low here in Latin America, at least if you're off the gringo tourist trail. 35 G's a year is a fortune to the average Latino. Well, Taylor, enough said about that, and thanks for the email. And if you're that young lady who got her master's degree at the University of Chicago not so long ago, I think I know you and your family. Oh, and one last thing. There's always one last thing after I say one last thing, huh? Well, it's my show, so I guess I can do that. Anyway, Taylor, I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you going to Mexico would not be my first choice at all. It's truly a failed state and getting worse. Sure, there are little gringoized islands of peace and tranquility, but if you listen to last week's show, you'll see the narcos are losing market share and getting desperate. And now, gringos and previously off-limits tourist spots are fair game for extortion, kidnapping, etc. And though I truly recommend getting the hell out of Dodge, ever since I've been doing this show, I've been saying, forget Mexico. Set your sights on south of the border. Meaning, except for a nice vacation package to Cancun or another resort, skip Mexico. That means focus on Guatemala and every place south of it. Oh, and Taylor, as long as you've already committed to doing that English stint in Mexico, and I guess it's Mexico City, right? You didn't say. It all might work out just fine, and you could fall in love with the place. But take my advice, my 2 cents. Don't buy any land, apartment, or condo. South of Mexico, yes, but not in Mexico. Don't want to scare you, Taylor, but Mexico is truly f***ed up. And being that you're new at this, and I think I know your family, why don't you shoot me another email, and we'll do a little Skype consult, and I'll set you straight. All right, how about this email? Comes from Andrew. He says, hey, Johnny, love listening to your podcast. Very informative, and I find myself nodding in agreement all the time. Perhaps, unfortunately, I did my plan B and C some 12 years ago, and I made a few wrong picks. I picked Nicaragua and that overpriced estancia in Argentina that Doug Casey was pushing so hard. Talk about two pathetic governments, Argentina and Nicaragua. Why'd I have to pick both? But anyway, Johnny, La Estancia in Argentina is not so overpriced anymore, and Doug Casey is pretty much gone. Along with all the folks that came down thinking they were going to hang with Doug all day, smoke cigars, and pick his brain. Well, that didn't happen, but the peso did crash. It went from 34 or so to the dollar last March to the current 66 to the buck today. That, Johnny, is 100% inflation in less than a year. However, that means if you have dollars, living expenses are indeed cheap. But if you work and make the local Argentine peso, you're screwed. Everything since last March is twice as expensive. But I will say that Cafayate, Argentina is indeed a very special little town with many good restaurants, hotels, and tourist shops. Not many gringo tourists, thankfully. It's hard to spend more than $10 at the best steakhouses. I'm talking dollars now, including dessert and plenty of great wine. Thankfully, we are so far off the Buenos Aires beaten path that we don't even notice the politics and no one seems to care much around here. That said, Johnny, we live most of the year in Nicaragua, in a development called Gran Pacifica. This is a little struggling gated community, which is nice because not many people are around. Here, with no towns nearby, even the recent unrest had no real effect on us. In fact, some locals we know were even sent to this area during the Contra Wars, as even then our area was safe because there was nothing here except an incredible oceanfront, with few, if any, surfers. It's paradise for a crappy old man surfer that I am. We surf, troll fish in our little sailboat, and share meals with neighbors because there are no restaurants within 45 minutes drive. We're way out in the boonies. It's not for everyone, I understand, but we love it. Anyway, Johnny, I would love to get your info on the solar stuff you're talking about. I know Alibaba has many Powerwall-type units, too many to choose from. I'd like to get your take. Also, we have a huge buried propane tank we fill once per year, but our generator has been having issues and I'm considering switching to solar. I also have 5 manzanas outside our little development where I have a well and grow all kinds of edibles, mostly for the locals on our dirt road. I figure with solar, our giant propane tank, well water, and growing many fruits and veggies, if the poop really does hit the fan, we could last a long time here. Then, if worst comes to worst, we switch to plan C, we escape on our sailboat. And finally, Johnny, we would like the information on your stem cell hospitals. I've not seen a doctor in over 20 years, but would like to fix my bad hip that I've had since my 20s, at least to see if a stem cell injection would help or not. That's it, Johnny. Keep doing what you're doing. Signed, Andy. Just one thing, Andy. You say you live so far in the boonies, you're 45 minutes from the nearest restaurant. Well, you're a better man than I am, but you're in the right place to survive anything. All right, enough of the emails. I want to remind you, in about a month, my Expat Inside seminar kicks off. That's a week where we're split between the Altiplano of Guatemala, 5,000 feet above sea level, perfect spring weather all year round, meaning no heating or air conditioning bills, a huge advantage if you're going solar. And then we'll be spending a couple of days in the beachfront hot weather of El Salvador. You can still sign up and you can still kill 2 birds with 1 stone, that is, get your Guatemalan residency started while you're at the seminar. Just go to www.theexpatfiles.com and click on the seminar link. And you know, people say it's the only way to get a guaranteed 2 to 5 year head start on your plan B. Because in reality, it doesn't look like you're going to have that much time to get that plan B going. The fact is, I've been hearing some dire predictions for the year 2020, and I'm sure you've been hearing them too. So what are you going to do when the next big calamity comes, when the shit hits the fan? Are you going to panic, call 911 and get a busy signal? Or are you going to just ease right into that plan B that you've had worked out for some time now? You know, having a plan B is an insurance policy. The question is, when things really go south, are you going to be in plan B mode or panic mode? I wonder. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.